Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call will be recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Maria Elena Encapié. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Great. Thank you, Alicia. Good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to welcome you to this teleconference this morning on behalf of the National Immigration Law Center, the ACLU Immigrant Rights Project, and Racial Justice Program, as well as one of the ACLU state affiliates. I am the Executive Director of the National Immigration Law Center, and we are pleased to share with you the announcement of a very important civil rights lawsuit that has been filed this morning. We have several speakers with us today that will discuss the lawsuit and the reasons for the filing. After they speak, we will open up the call to answer any questions you may have. We also have Spanish speakers on the line who can answer questions in both English and Spanish. Our first speaker is Linton Joaquin, General Counsel with the National Immigration Law Center. He will give an overview of the claims of the lawsuit. Linton.
Good morning, everyone. Today we are filing a lawsuit to challenge a law enacted by the state of Utah, HB 497, which is the Immigration Enforcement Act. This case is brought on behalf of seven organizations and six individual plaintiffs representing a wide cross-section of Utah residents affected by this law. We are suing the governor and the attorney general of the state as the officials responsible for implementing HB 497. And I will briefly outline the claims of the lawsuit. First, HB 497 as a whole violates the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution and is preempted because it constitutes a regulation of immigration, and under the Constitution, that is the exclusive province of the federal government. The law creates a systematic, pervasive immigration enforcement scheme under which immigrants are effectively required to carry one of a set of four types of documents establishing immigration status, or be subjected to repeated interrogation and verification of their status. The law also authorizes arrests of people who would not be subject to detention by federal immigration authorities. Because of HB 497, special immigration enforcement rules apply only in Utah. For example, in Utah, unlike any other state in the country, it is now a felony to invite relatives or friends living in another state to visit your home if they don't have proper immigration status. But under the Constitution, the regulation of immigration is a federal function with serious foreign policy implications, and states have no authority to enact their own sweeping regulation of immigration. HB 497 is also preempted because it conflicts with the comprehensive system of federal laws that regulate and enforce immigration. Federal immigration law leaves no room for this kind of intrusive state legislation. Another claim that we have is that HB 497 is unconstitutional because it violates the Fourth Amendment's prohibition of unreasonable searches and seizures as applied to the states via the 14th Amendment. HB 497 authorizes and in some instances requires law enforcement officers to detain individuals for verification of their immigration status in circumstances where the officers do not have reasonable suspicion of criminal activity in violation of the Fourth Amendment. HB 497 also violates the fundamental right to travel, which derives from several constitutional provisions, the Privileges and Immunities Clause, the Equal Protection Clause, and the Commerce Clause. Under HB 497, licensed drivers who are residents of states that issue driver's licenses without requiring proof of immigration status, such as New Mexico and Washington, are treated differently than licensed drivers from Utah and other states. When stopped by police, they are subject to investigation and detention pending verification of their status. And this provision of HB 497 impermissibly burdens the right to travel. In addition, HB 497 violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution in at least two ways. First, it discriminates against individuals who do not possess one of the restricted set of four types of documents establishing a presumption of lawful status under the law. Individuals who lack such documents are subject to interrogation and detention pending verification of their status. In addition, the law discriminates on the basis of alienage. By permitting law enforcement officers to accept an oral affirmation of citizenship status, without accepting corresponding affirmations from lawfully present immigrants. Immigrants, thus, are effectively required to carry documentation with them or be subjected to interrogation and detention pending verification of status. And in both of these ways, HB 497 also violates Article 1, Section 24 of the Utah Constitution, which is the guarantee that all laws of a general nature shall have uniform operation. And HB 497 violates 42 U.S.C. Section 1981 by discriminating against persons in Utah on the basis of alienage, national origin, and race. Today we are filing a complaint, and we will soon be filing a motion for preliminary injunction to stop the implementation of this unconstitutional law. Thank you.
Thank you, Linton. Our next speaker is Cecilia Wang, who is the managing attorney at the ACLU Immigrant Rights Project. Cecilia?
Good morning, everyone. I'll be highlighting how HB 497 violates fundamental civil rights and civil liberties. The new Utah immigration law is aimed at unauthorized immigrants, but let there be no mistake, it harms all of us. By forcing Utah police officers to get into the business of enforcing immigration laws, HB 497 will violate everyone's most basic rights under the Constitution. As Americans, we cherish our freedom to go about our business without having to show our papers when a police officer demands to see them. HB 497 takes away that freedom and undermines our fundamental American values of equality and fairness. Let me explain how this will happen. Under HB 497, if you're stopped by the police and you happen not to have the right sort of ID on you, you'll be subject to prolonged detention while the officer tries to figure out whether you're lawfully in the United States. And even if you do have the right sort of ID on you, HB 497 authorizes the police to decide that your ID is fraudulent. In this way, the Utah immigration law invites racial profiling. When a person doesn't have the right sort of ID, he can affirm verbally to the officer that he's a U.S. citizen. But HB 497 tells officers that it's up to them whether to believe such an affirmation or not. And a person who actually has an approved identity document might not escape an intrusive investigation and detention because the law authorizes an officer to discredit the ID card. HB 497 puts the good police officers of Utah into an impossible situation of having to develop suspicion that a person is an unauthorized immigrant when that status is not something that can be observed out in the field. Officers will be left to work on stereotypes that certain people might be undocumented based on how they speak or the color of their skin. The truth is, Americans come from every background and every corner of the earth, and no one should be subject to discriminatory or unequal treatment by law enforcement because of their race, ethnicity, or national origin. Like its predecessor, Arizona's SB 1070, Utah's HB 497 violates the U.S. Constitution. We are proud to join with our clients in filing this lawsuit today to preserve our basic civil rights and to block HB 497 from going into effect.
Thank you, Cecilia. Our next speaker is Karen McCreary, who is the Executive Director of the ACLU of Utah, and she will talk about the local impact of HB 497 on people in Utah.
Thank you. This Utah law has been widely misrepresented as a kinder and gentler version of Arizona's SB 1070. But the truth is, this ill-conceived law is just as harsh, if not more so. The law will impact all Utahns, both citizens and non-citizens alike. HB 497 effectively requires individuals in Utah to carry proof of lawful presence at all times, or risk being subjected to lengthy detention and investigation. These provisions will drive a wedge between the community and the police because the overriding message of this law to the community is that Utah police officers are less concerned about ensuring a community member's safety and more concerned about their immigration status. Leading law enforcement officials like our Salt Lake City Police Chief Chris Burbank have come forward and expressed concerns that entire segments of our community will be wary to seek out police protection for fear of being reported to immigration agents. As we know, when people are afraid to report crimes, everyone in the community is less safe. In addition, Although we've all heard a lot of wonderful things about the Utah Compact, this law does not live up to the ideals of the Utah Compact. The very first sentence of the compact states plainly, immigration is a federal policy issue between the U.S. government and other countries, not Utah and other countries. It's difficult to understand how this touchstone can be squared with the intrusive immigration regulation and enforcement scheme adopted by our Utah state legislature. If every state took Utah's approach, it would leave us with an unworkable patchwork of 50 different immigration laws around the country. And moreover, the compact also supports keeping families strong and united. It says strong families are the foundation of successful communities. We oppose policies that unnecessarily separate families. The compact continues. We champion policies that support families and improve the health, education, and well-being of all Utah children. But HB 497 does nothing to support families. Instead, it expressly authorized policies that will have the effect of separating undocumented individuals from family members who are lawfully present in the United States, and that will drive wedges between family members and leave everyone less secure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen. Our next speaker is one of our plaintiffs, Robert Archuleta, who is the president of the Utah Coalition of La Raza. Archie?
Good morning. My name is Archie Archuleta and Robert. I am speaking today as a representative of Utah Coalition of La Raza on behalf of Utah's immigrant community. La Raza is an organization that does advocacy work in civil liberties and civil rights in the areas of education, jobs, housing, health, government, culture, etc. We have joined as a plaintiff specifically because of the fear factor engendered by HB 497. It's really important to realize that this fear factor did not begin with 497, but has been building since SB 481 was passed. The driver's privilege card was passed, and the great struggle in Arizona over HB 1070. The introduction of HB 497 over a year ago as a copy nephew of that Arizona law, the information in our brains that we have gathered from the past, pictures on TV and newspapers of lines of men and women manacled and boarding buses or planes to be deported, family members coming home to find one or both parents gone, the anguish of moms and pops frantic to know who will care for their children, their pets, their homes. You could not script a better fear-producing scenario than this. And because of this, and in many meetings that have taken place, telephone calls, whether on TV, whether on radio, whether at seminars, whether at panelist meetings, people have expressed these fears. What will happen to us? And the past pictures paint some pretty ugly pictures. This is why we are opposed to this, as well as the fact that we leave too much in the hands of officers to determine whether I or you or anyone else is undocumented. Thank you.
Thank you, Archie. Our final speaker is also one of the plaintiffs. Juan Manuel Ruiz is the president and chairman of the board of the Latin American Chamber of Commerce of Utah. Juan Manuel?
Thank you. In effect, that is my name, Juan Manuel Ruiz, and I'm the president of the Latin American Chamber of Commerce, no longer the chairman of the board, but I'm the speaker for this specific issue. My organization seeks to stimulate economic growth in Utah. We support small businesses and we help them fostering entrepreneurship. What we do is we strengthen the Utah economy by supporting small businesses in their formation and training. My organization has joined others in this class action lawsuit to stop HB 497. specifically because of the economic and social cost of this misguided law are too high. Since HB 497 was passed, the Latin American Chamber of Commerce has had to divert very precious resources that would ordinarily go towards stimulating our local economy and to educate the public about this loss. We've been inundated with phone calls that have workers concerned and companies, employers, all of them worried about consequences to Utah's immigrants if this discriminatory law is allowed to go into effect. At a time of economic hardship, we do not need this added burden. Organizations like mine should be focusing on resources and allowing our nascent economy recovery to flourish. Unfortunately, as before 97, has threatened to smile our efforts to bring our economy back on track. The Latin American Chamber of Commerce can no longer afford to be distracting resources, to be fielding phone calls from a fearing community only because of this law. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Juan Manuel, and thank you to all of our speakers. Alicia, if we can please open the lines up for Q&A now. We have several other attorneys and staff that are also available to answer questions. Those are Karen Tumlin, Melissa Keeney, and Shuming Chir with the National Immigration Law Center, as well as Andre Segura and Vic Malhotra from the ACLU. If you can open up the lines, that would be great.
Certainly, and at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. And once again, to ask a question, that's star and one. We'll take our first question from Josh Lofton with the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi. I was wondering if this is just focused on the enforcement measure, HB 497, or if it will also... if the lawsuit is also targeting other immigration laws that were passed by the state.
Linton, would you like to start?
Sure. Yes, our lawsuit targets HB 497, which is the law that takes effect almost immediately, May 10th.
Okay.
Our next question?
Our next question comes from the line of Nick Riccardi with Los Angeles Times. Your line is open.
Hi. I have two questions. First is, to a certain extent, a bit of clarification. My understanding of the law, and perhaps I'm misreading it, is that the questions about status are only required in the case of a stop for felony or Class A misdemeanor, and that otherwise it's optional for the officer. Is that accurate? And if so, how does that require everybody to carry documents? And then the second question is for one of the folks, maybe Mr. Archuleta and Mr. Ruiz. How are Latinos in Utah feeling, given that this law was passed, but there was also obviously the guest worker provision that was also passed at the same time? Did that provide any comfort? Does it seem like a paradox? Does it not matter?
Great. Thank you, Nick. Let's go with the first question first. Andre or others at the ACLU, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, this law mandates that every person in Utah carry identification that provides a presumption of lawful status. The way the law operates is that upon any lawful stop, an individual is required to provide one of four documents, identification documents, that would serve to prove the person's status. So in this law places an immigration check at the front end of every stop. As you said, upon a stop or an arrest for a felony or Class A misdemeanor, the officer is required to verify the immigration status of that person. But upon a stop for a Class B or C misdemeanor, the officer, and when a citation is issued for a B or C misdemeanor, the officer is also required under the law to verify the immigration status of that person as well.
Great. Thank you, Andre. And Juan Manuel or Archie, would you like to respond to the second question about the Latino community's feelings and perspectives on the different bills, particularly the so-called guest worker bill?
Well, number one is that most of the attention has been paid to 497. However, the other bills, particularly in relationship to guest workers, has provided more confusion than comfort, because many of the things that are in 497 apparently may be in these as well. But the confusion comes from not knowing how 497 will affect all of these others. And the rules and regulations are still pretty confusing.
Additionally, one thing that has been happening is the very fact that the other, like 116 and specifically, has a postponed date for enforcement and coming into effect, and that has made the entire community not too concerned about the specific dealings with this bill. The most concern in the community is the 497.
Great. Thank you, Juan Manuel. And our first speaker was Archie. Our next question?
Our next question comes from Julia Preston with the New York Times. Your line is open.
Yeah, I wonder if you could explain a little more the legal justification of bringing a suit against one of these bills on preemption grounds and not against the state guest worker bill, which I would think suffers from exactly the same preemption frailties as the enforcement bill.
Great. Thank you, Julia. We'll start with Karen Tumlin from the National Immigration Law Center.
So, without question, both 116 and 469, the two other bills that are referenced in our complaint, that's the guest worker bill as well as the bill which purports to set up a state sponsorship program to bring immigrants into Utah from outside of the country, are fatally flawed because they are a state attempt to overtake quintessentially federal authority in the area of immigration. That said, this lawsuit is focused on the imminent problem of the implementation of 497 just a couple of less than 2 weeks away at this juncture on May 10th. And that's the reason that we've chose to have a laser focus on the harms that will come to people of color, particularly in the state of Utah, if that law is allowed to take effect.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Does someone from the ACLU, Cecilia or Vic or anyone, want to respond as well?
No, I think Karen covered it.
Great. Thanks. Our next question, operator.
All right. We'll take our next question from David Moguero with Salt Lake Tribune. Your line is open.
Montero. The 497 provisions that talk about was there a concern about the patchwork approach that one county or one sheriff's department or one police department would be enforcing it differently, like a sort of a different, an uneven approach to the enforcement? Was that part of the reason for the seeking the injunction?
Great. Thank you for your question. And Karen in Utah or someone from the ACLU, would you like to respond to that?
I can respond to that. It's Cecilia Wong from the ACLU Immigrants' Rights Project. I think that HB 497 is clear on its face in what it requires of police officers throughout the state of Utah. And as we point out in our lawsuit, the problem is that police officers are required, as Andre pointed out, to ask everyone for one of the four specific types of ID that the state of Utah deems to be adequate proof of or presumptive proof of immigration status. So that's not our primary concern. I think that HB 497 is clear on its face in requiring police officers to demand papers from everybody throughout the state of Utah.
Great. Thanks, Cecilia. Our next question?
Take our next question from Tanya Navarro with El Observador, Utah. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is, after what happened in Arizona with SB 1070, do you think that you're going to be able to stop the law before it goes under on May 10th, or are we going to wait till something is going to happen and also file it into the lawsuit?
Great, thank you. Why don't we start with Shuming Chair here at the National Immigration Law Center?
We are also planning to file a motion for preliminary injunction to stop the implementation of the law before its effective date of May 10th. So, of course, we're hoping that our motion will be successful and that we can prevent this law from going into effect.
Great, thanks. Cecilia or others from the ACLU?
We're looking forward to pursuing the lawsuit and are confident that we'll get the same preliminary result that we got against the Utah SB 1070 law. HB 497 suffers from all of the same constitutional infirmities that the Arizona law has, and we look forward to enjoining it.
Great. Thank you, Cecilia, and thank you, Tanya, for your question. Are there any other questions from any of the reporters on the line?
Not at this time, but as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star 1 on your touch-tone phone. We will take a moment to allow any further questions to queue.
I have a small comment, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead, Juan Manuel.
Yeah, this is Juan Ruiz. There was a question previous to this one. There was a concern from one of the reporters whether this law would go, if it went into effect, it will have a sparing effect across the state because of the ability that officers have to be more strict on it or not. And I think that's a very valid concern. Our community knows that there are areas in the state of Utah where officers would have a tendency to be more strict and maybe even harass a little bit more some of our citizens, even if they are legal residents or citizens of the United States. And our chamber has membership across the state, and we have had more concerns in specific areas of the state that I'm not going to care to mention versus other areas in other areas of the city or the states where even though the law is supposed to be applied pretty uniformly, the very prerogative that the police has to question more or suspect more makes it a very unfair burden on some specific citizens, especially those that may have difficulty speaking the language or may look more foreign than others.
Thank you so much, Juan. Alicia, are there any other questions?
And we do have a follow-up from the line of Josh Lofton with the Associated Press. Your line is open.
A few other states have passed, or legislatures have at least passed, similar laws, enforcement measures, Georgia being the first one that comes to mind. Are you guys concerned about those laws as well? Are you looking at legal action in those states, or are you hoping that after Arizona and Utah, states just stop passing these laws?
Absolutely. Thanks for your question, Josh. Vic, would you like to respond to this first from the ACLU?
Sure. Vic Milhotra with the ACLU. I guess we're carefully monitoring developments, legislative developments in other states around the country. It's important to note that many states have rejected the Arizona-style papers, please approach this year, despite saber-rattling by anti-immigrant lawmakers around the country. So you have states like Kentucky, Mississippi, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming, all have rejected this type of approach. There's a handful of states remaining who are still considering adopting or have recently adopted legislation that is similar or modeled after Arizona's. Georgia is certainly one of the places we're looking at. We are carefully reviewing the laws that are passed. As you may know, the Georgia bill, HB 87, is still pending a signature by the governor. There are other states, particularly in the Southeast, that at least look on track to pass some kind of SB 1070 copycat legislation. So again, we're looking at the laws carefully, we're scrutinizing them, and I think we stand ready to defend the civil liberties of anyone targeted by these types of discriminatory laws should they suffer from the same constitutional defects that Arizona's and Utah's do.
Great. Thank you, Vic. Alicia, are there any other questions?
There are no further questions in queue.
Great. Thank you. Just a reminder to the reporters that if you do have any questions or want speak to any of the speakers or other plaintiffs or comments in Spanish, you can contact Adela de la Torre at the National Immigration Law Center and Rachel Myers at the ACLU. We thank you for being on this call today. And just to wrap up the call, just a reminder that this lawsuit that we're filing in Utah today is a reminder to all of the states, as Vic just mentioned, or the handful of states that are still considering litigation, that this is costly, not just from an economic perspective of the litigation cost for the local governments in the state that will be defending this, but also on the community, as we've heard from both Juan and Archie, the impact on the immigrant community as well as all people of color and all Utahns and any other state that is considering this is grave. Our country deserves better. Our politicians and our elected officials should do better to integrate immigrants and ensure that we have prosperous societies rather than marginalizing communities. This is racial profiling and civil rights violations at its worst, and we will do everything to defend and advance the rights of all communities, particularly immigrant communities, and ensure that the states are being held accountable for this. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to any questions that you have. Again, you can direct those to Adela de la Torre or Rachel Myers. Thank you.